You're listening to Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast on Atletico Madrid and a part of Into the Calderon, the SB Nation home for all things Atletico. I'm Jeremy Barron. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, making his standard Monday appearance on the program, is Rob Walker. Rob is a staff writer at Into the Calderon. He joins to discuss Atletico's season finale, a 3-1 win over Athletic Club in the final league game at the Vicente Calderon. We'll talk all about the post-match ceremony, the emotions contained therein, and a little bit about the match itself, which marked Thiago's final appearance in an Atletico shirt. Saúl Ñíguez at left back, and other things. Plus, we'll dive into some transfer speculation, including the latest on Antoine Griezmann, Sandro Ramirez, Vitolo, and more. Before we continue, I'd like to remind our listeners that you can like Into the Calderon on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. And also, you can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Gennaro Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. Make sure to leave a rating and a review on iTunes would be greatly appreciated. We'll be back after this.
Yeah, that does happen. And it seems to me that, I don't know if it's the same out there for y'all, but it seems a lot hotter than it would be at this time of year.
You know,
it has been before.
It's weird because it's normal out here. Like, when the calendar turns to May, you just know it's going to be 100 degrees. You know, it's just, it's like second nature. You just know. Here we go.
Yeah, that is kind of when it starts getting hot, but yeah. Certainly down here it's been a little unseasonably warm.
And like, for you guys, you have to know that there's like a surely there's a date on the calendar that's like, oh, it's going to get really humid and sticky and miserable outside.
Yeah, that's basically what it was like today.
Oh, yeah.
Thankfully it rained, but, you know.
Oh, nice. Whatever.
Yeah, so that took some of the pressure off, but it's still a little sticky.
Yeah, I won't be seeing rain for probably 2 more months. Because we got those monsoons in the summer, you know. So,
gosh, that's interesting. Well,
interesting.
It'll be a different kind of heat, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So, let's begin with the whip around, the final whip around of the season, Mr. Walker.
Hooray, kind
of. Hey, these are fun. You know these are fun. You like these.
Oh, I always like the whip around.
There you go. So, we'll actually start this on Wednesday when Real Madrid finally made up that game against Celta Vigo. They won it 4-1 and assumed full control of the title race. We'll move up to Friday now when Granada lost to Espanyol 2-1. Granada long ago condemned to the second division. They finished the season with 22 points and 94 goals conceded over 38 weeks. Pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty god-awful.
It could be worse. You could have, like, conceded 100 goals.
Well, I guess, but they don't worry. They have Tony Adams and some Chinese businessmen rebuilding their club.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure that'll go fine.
Fingers crossed. On Saturday, Sporting Gijón and Real Betis playing out a 2-2 draw. Sporting Gijón condemned to relegation last week. Real Betis completing a rather unimpressive season in 15th place and winless in their last five. Leganés and Alaves playing out a 1-1 draw. Leganés confirmed their safety last week, and Alaves finishing the season unbeaten in their last six, 55 points and in ninth place. Incredible season for them.
Yeah, they had a fantastic year and sort of set the standard early on, beating big teams.
Yeah, this is kind of the template. Not all promoted teams can follow this template, but this is how you succeed. Buy smart, you loan smart, you have a good coach in Pellegrino, and this is what can happen.
Yeah, they're going to have to replace their loan players well, though, if they're going to stay up next year.
And Pellegrino is out of contract this summer, so it could be a very interesting close season for them. Very interesting. Deportivo La Coruña ending the season with a 3-0 win over a typically limp Las Palmas side, who will be losing Quique Setién this summer. They have a lot of questions to answer about motivation and about who's going to be in this team. You know, hopefully next season goes better for them, because they were just not fun at all to watch as the season drew to an end.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really helped themselves out by getting some of the best party boy players on the planet, and Boateng and Hesse, and now maybe Mario Balotelli. It could be one of the best party boy teams of all time.
I'm telling you, I don't think that's a good move for Balo. I really don't. He needs to think about that. The final game Saturday, Sevilla sending off Jorge Sampaoli. He is going to take the Argentina job. They sent him off in style with a 5-0 win over Osasuna. Atletico target Vitolo, scoring twice and setting up another, responsible for 3 goals of Sevilla's 5. A pretty good end to the season for Sevilla, although they kind of crashed and burned a few months back, but they end the season on a high note.
Well, yeah, it's a shame that Sampaoli is leaving La Liga because he did a pretty good job early on.
Do you think he quit on Sevilla?
Yeah, I think he kind of had his head turned, actually, which you don't normally see with managers, but I definitely think that there was a little bit of, uncertainty that went on there because they were clearly clashing, the board and him.
Yeah, I don't like to think about that, but I think it may have been a couple things. I mean, the system he played with such high intensity, players get tired when you do it. And I also do think he had his head turned. So it's unfortunate that the Sevilla, I guess, revolution is only going to last one season. Because Monchi's gone, too.
Well, they may be able to bring back Unai Emery this summer if PSG sack him. So.
Oh, God.
That would be great.
Yeah, going full Unai. Sunday, the final day of the 2016-17 Liga Santander season, Celta Vigo and Real Sociedad playing out an awesome 2-2 draw. Juanmi scoring in the 94th minute to confirm Real Sociedad's place in next season's Europa League. They will finish 6th. Incredible ending to that game. Looked like Celta were going to hold on and Athletic would get into Europe. Not the case.
Yeah, Real Sociedad are such a solid team, and they've been very much earned this whole season.
Honestly, I think they earned this, and they've always had the talent. It took the right kind of manager. It took Iar Mendy's signing was just huge for them. It took him coming back to really put this into motion as well. They earned this.
Yeah, it's good for Iar Mendy because that was a bad move, him going to Real Madrid, but sort of being a big fish in a small pond at Real Sociedad is a great position for him.
Valencia ending the season with a 3-1 defeat at the hands, or more accurately, the feet of Villarreal. Villarreal finished the season 5th on 67 points. A good win for them at Mestalla. Real Madrid winning La Liga with a 2-0 win at Malaga. Goals from Cristiano Ronaldo and Benzema. And Barcelona, 4-2 winners over Eibar in a wild game at Camp Nou. That will see the Catalans finish 2nd.
And trophyless, potentially.
Although I do think they're going to win the Copa without many problems next week, but you never know.
Yeah, you do never know, and of course that'll probably be a disappointment to their fans.
So here, for posterity, is the final, not the final league table, the final top 7. Real Madrid winning their first title in 5 years, their second in the last 9 years. They finished top on 93 points, Barcelona finishing 2nd on 90 points, Atletico in 3rd on 78, Sevilla in 4th on 72, Villarreal 5th on 67 points, Real Sociedad 6th on 64, and Athletic in 7th on 63. Athletic can still get into Europe if Barcelona win the Copa del Rey. So the one result we did not talk about, we will talk about it now. Atletico Madrid 3, Athletic Club 1. That is Atletico ending the season with a pretty good win. A lot of the talk on this game was centered on, saying goodbye to the Vicente Calderon, which we will do later on in this program, but what hasn't really been talked about much is how good a performance this was from Atletico, especially considering Simeone was missing half his players.
Yeah, and a makeshift back line is, that's a compliment to say it was makeshift.
He had Saul at left back.
It was very bootleg.
Yeah, he had Saul at left back, Thomas at right back, Lucas and Stefan Savage in the middle. And it worked.
Yeah, it did. It did. It was a good performance, but also I was very sort of surprised that Athletic Club were as poor as they were, given that they could have easily qualified for Europe had they won.
Yeah, it was a bit surprising. 16 shots for Athletic in this game, just one on target. It was the goal. It was the goal from Iñaki Williams that took a heavy deflection off Stefan Savage. So pretty weird display from Athletic, who really just could have pushed on a little bit and didn't put nearly enough pressure on Atletico. Atletico started the game very well and put Athletic under the cosh, and that really kind of changed things. I think they were surprised by Atletico's start.
Yeah, I think so too. And Fernando Torres, of course, was heavily motivated.
Such a troll, okay? The dude is such a troll. Of course he's going to score 2 goals in the final game of the season and the final game of the Calderon. Of course he is. We should have seen that. We should have seen that coming.
Yeah.
We really
should have.
And the goals he scored, especially the second one, the goals he scored were really nice.
Yeah, they were. You could make the case that the second one was maybe not intentional, but, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that one.
Yeah, you got to give it to him. So the first goal came on 8 minutes when Atleti had a little build-up play going. Thiago, who started this game, took the captain's ban for the first time in 3 years, and it's going to be his final game in red and white. Thiago patented long ball into the box. Griezmann heads it to Torres to finish rather easily. Then 3 minutes later, Atleti get a counterattack going. Torres, Griezmann, and Koke to his left. Koke heads it to Torres in the box, and he hits like this pseudo-overhead kick that goes past Kepa into the goal. It was really, really nicely taken.
Yeah, and it wasn't really dissimilar to the other one he scored this season.
Against
which
Santa.
Was also, yeah, the very weird, kind of bicycly overhead kick thing.
Yeah,
he's figured those out. Good.
He has. And he's going to finish the season with 8 goals, which is a decent return. For someone playing as much as he has, it's not a great return. But considering the player Fernando Torres is in 2017, it's a nice return.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I also very much enjoyed the Antoine Griezmann celebration for the first goal.
Yes.
The sort of excited little boy arm waving thing.
Waving his arms, amazing. Just running over to Torres at near the corner flag. That was nice.
Waving his arms there is amazing.
But Atletico's defensive organization this game was excellent. Again, considering Simeone didn't really have a team to choose from. I mean, we talked about the back line. He started Thiago. I can't remember when Thiago's last start was. I think it was December against Villarreal. So this was Thiago's first start in 5 months. And you have him in midfield with Gabby and Koke. And yeah, Atletico just really could not find any way through. The rest of the first half just kind of trudged along, and much of the second half was kind of the same way until Iñaki Williams' goal. That kind of woke Athletic up, but they couldn't find a second, and Angel Correa scoring the final league goal at the Calderon, the final Atletico goal at the Calderon on the counterattack in the 89th minute. That was, by the way, Correa's first goal since October in league play.
Yeah, he really hadn't done much this sort of second half of the year. I mean, he's been limited to sub appearances, but still, it's good for him to get the last goal, I guess, but who knows? His future is very much up in the air.
It is, and Correa, I think it's kind of nice he got it because, you know, he born in Argentina and was an Atletico fan as a kid, you know, on another continent miles and miles away across an ocean. So it's got to be sweet for him, especially to be the one to get that goal. I mean, I think a lot of fans would have preferred if it were Torres, which I totally see that. But it was nice for Correa. He'd have been due for sure. It was his first touch as well. Like, literally, Thiago had just come off. Correa hustled on, and like 10 seconds later, he scored. Thiago is still, like, you know, giving daps to guys on the bench, and Correa's already made it 3-1.
Yeah, it was a classic Correa goal, too. Just, like, didn't really do much in the build-up to it, but got an easy tap in.
Yeah,
he got
it. Griezmann did a lot of the work. Griezmann forced a save, and it kind of, I think Tomas delivered the ball into the box, and then Griezmann forced a save, bounced over to Correa to slot in pretty easily to make it 3-1. And that's where it ended.
Yeah, it was a really vintage display from Thiago and Gabby in the middle, which was always great to see, because those
Thiago
two together,
actually,
when they're both on form, is awesome.
Thiago actually played very well. I was pleasantly surprised that he looked relatively fresh, considering he's 36 years old, he hadn't started in 5 months, he'd barely played since getting hurt against Villarreal. He actually looked pretty good.
Well, and this may be his last ever match, we don't know.
I think he's going to retire.
I would agree.
36, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of interest in him. I think he's going to go into coaching.
Yeah, he's the report on him off the pitch has always been that he's kind of a very smart and very thinking man sort of player, so I think he would be a good coach. Hopefully it's with Atleti.
It's always those kind of central midfielders, those defensive midfielders who make the best coaches.
Well, yeah, I guess
it really is,
because they're responsible for both phases of play. They got to know what's going on at all times.
I think it would be pretty cool if Thiago were to come back someday. Like, you think about 5 years down the line, maybe Thiago is the coach of Atletico. Who knows?
Yeah, and I don't know what his situation is with his coaching badges or whatever, but I'm sure that Atleti would welcome him with open arms if he wanted an academy job or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this was his day. This was his goodbye, as well as the stadium's. And he came off in the 87th, 88th minute. Very, very emotional, crying as he left the pitch, and he gave the captain's band back to Gabby. Everyone came over to say goodbye to him as he was walking off the pitch. Even Oblak came up to give him a hug as he was heading to the bench. Very, very emotional moment for him.
Yeah, this has been a rough year for losing some really special players of the game.
Yeah, because Xabi Alonso, Philip Lahm retiring, and Thiago.
Tati at the end of the year.
Tati. Yeah, it's the end of a generation, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
So Thiago, it was really good to see him one more time. Tomas Partey, again, slotting in it right back, and again, doing a decent job.
Yeah, I mean, I've been so impressed with him this season. I think he's really kicked on as a player, and he's shown that he can do it in a lot of different positions. He just has a very useful skill set.
I really think he should have proven himself to Simeone this season. Simeone's got to trust him more next year. In general, Simeone has to rotate more, but he's got to trust Tomas in particular because the kid is talented. He's got a lot of the tools to succeed in this setup in a lot of different positions. I think Simeone has to go to him more next season.
Yeah, I think he probably will because he is sort of the player that Simeone likes, the guy that can play all over the place and can make an impact from a lot of different positions.
Yep, and he slotted in right back because the other makeshift right back, Jose Jimenez, was suspended.
Yes, and then of course we have the two others that are injured, and everyone else is gone for some other reason.
And then you have Juanfran and Versalco were hurt. Versalco did end up missing the rest of the season after that slight ACL tear in March. Juanfran was hurt, quadricep problem. Godin was suspended. Felipe Luis was suspended. So yeah, that made this a bit more impressive.
Yeah, for sure. And Athletic are no chumps. They're quite a good club. They've been a very good team this year.
Very good team. Just didn't really show it on Sunday.
Yeah, for sure.
I
quite like a few of their players, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Atleti go for a couple of them, in particular the one that scored their goal.
Iñaki, yeah, he's got a huge release clause, and Iñaki's good, man. He's good.
Yeah. He's fantastic. One of the faster players in La Liga. I think they clocked him. He's up there with Ronaldo and them.
I think he is, like, if not the fastest, he's one of the three or four fastest. I've also always been a fan of Iker Muniain. I love Iker Muniain.
Oh, yeah. I mean, talk about rapid players. Yeah. I'll never forget that goal he scored at Old Trafford that he had absolutely no right to get to.
Yeah, and someone else I've looked at Athletic is Uri, their center back, who's had a really, honestly, brilliant season. I think he's had a better season than Laporte has, and Laporte gets all the headlines.
Yeah, and especially considering he had, what, testicular cancer this season? I mean, absolutely fantastic for him.
Yeah, he's a story.
So good to see from a player, a really good player, but that overcame a really serious disease.
And seeing as Atletico are looking to purchase a young central defender to compete with Lucas. Uri, honestly, I think he should be one of the names on the table. I mean, he probably won't leave, but he's kind of in the mold of someone I would look at to bring in. He had a great season.
Yeah, there is the whole thing about Athletic that their players are very loyal because of the Basque and the Cantara policy, but, you know.
And if one of their players
they got some good players.
If one of their players does leave, he's like persona non grata. Like, he's like never welcome back.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's very tough.
Yeah, like Javi Martinez and them, they're just like, why would you leave?
Yeah, so it's very tough to negotiate that. And Fernando Llorente as well.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I thought, despite conceding three goals, I think Kepa. A good prospect in terms of a goalkeeper.
Yeah, but no, he's gotten a lot of praise the last few weeks. As Gorka is leaving, has been their number one keeper for years. He's leaving and turning the keys over to Kepa. So, Athletic, it's kind of hard with Athletic because, you know, they only recruit from, like, one portion of Spain and an even smaller portion of France. So they kind of have the same team, like, every year. I mean, financially, they're, like, the healthiest club in Spain because they never buy anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Like, one of their biggest ever purchases was from Athletic.
Yeah, Raul Garcia. With Athletic, you never know what you're really going to get. You could get a team that finishes fourth, or you could get a team that finishes, like, 12th.
Yeah, and I would hate to be, you know, a foreign team that comes up against them in a European competition because they are such a tough team to play against.
And it looks like they are going to be looking for a new manager, too, as Ernesto Valverde. Looks like he's going to be the new man at Barcelona, replacing Luis Enrique.
Yeah, sounds like it. That'll be interesting for them to see who they get. They always tend to get someone fairly interesting, and, you know, they have Marcelo Bielsa for a while, who is probably one of the most interesting managers in all of football.
Yeah, like the most interesting manager in the world.
Yeah, and, you know, he's going to be in France next season. He's just absolutely insane. So, you know, it's fun to watch.
Unless he gets sued by that club, like Lazio did.
We'll see how that goes.
So after all this went down, there was a big, nearly hour-long ceremony on the pitch at the Calderon, honoring legends past and present. They brought out every trophy Atleti have won since they moved to the Calderon in 1966. That first trophy was the league title from 1969-70. Lots of league titles, Copa del Generalissimos, which became the Copa del Rey. A lot of club legends were on hand for this, starting with Garate, who was a former Pichichi winner, a legendary striker back in the 60s and 70s. All the way up to today, when some of the present-day players carried out the league title from 2014, the Copa del Rey from 2013, the Spanish Super Cup from 2014. So it was really nice what they did too. They had a big flag with the club badge on it, and they kind of draped it and started waving it, howling the club anthem. It was really well done.
Yeah, it was, and it was an emotional day for everyone, I think, and. Sort of throughout the game, it felt a lot like an end-of-the-season match and a farewell game, because at various points, random people would be showed in the crowd waving. Yeah. And even Manu Burgos on the sideline stepped out for his round of applause at some point in the match.
Like, there were TIFOs, and there was applause for everyone. Like, Thiago got one. The one before the game was, about Melancholy Way and going to the Manzanares. And even the woman who places the bouquet of flowers by the corner flag, by the southeast corner flag, Margarita, even she got a round of applause.
Yeah, they were honoring everybody.
It really was.
But it's good. That's great to see. Also, the women's team that got a guard of honor after the match as well, which they absolutely deserve.
Yep.
Winning the title invincible.
Atletico's women's team, we will give them a shout out. They won their first ever league title over the weekend. They beat Real Sociedad 2-1 to finish the season unbeaten. 24 wins from 30 games. First ever league title. Wonderful news. Great for them. Great for the club.
Yeah, and I think it's Sonia Bermudez scored, about a bazillion goals this season. They were just fantastic.
Well over 30 goals, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic season for them.
Great for them. They got a guard of honor. And then there was some remarks given. Gabby gave remarks. Garate gave remarks. And Simeone took the mic for about 90 seconds. The stadium just fell dead silent when Simeone came up to speak. Like, it was incredible. Like, this stadium is just buzzing and roaring throughout the day, and then they all just shut up when Simeone takes the microphone.
Yeah, it shows the level of respect that everyone has for him at the club.
Yeah.
It's undeniable.
And he talked about how other clubs may have more money and may win more trophies, but there's something that those clubs can't match, and that's the feeling that the sentiment Atletico fans have for their team. And that kind of sums it up.
It really does. It was a very beautiful speech, I think, and it was great to hear him speak like that. It was sort of similar to the one he gave after winning the league title in 2014 in the center of Madrid. He's a very good public speaker as well as a manager.
When they were up at Neptuno celebrating that miraculous, still miraculous league title. And he also confirmed that he's going to stay for next season, that he sees a future here. The future is all of us together going to a stadium called Wanda. So, hooray, Cholo's staying.
Yeah, we sort of expected it, I guess. But, honestly, probably prior to this, I would have said it would be more likely that he would stay than Griezmann. But, this thing, there have been rumors swirling about people trying to take our players and manager all season.
Yeah, what else is new?
Yeah. No surprises here.
If you followed this club at all, that's absolutely nothing new.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's been junk stories about this since August, so we're not really concerned about that.
But overall, it was a good way to send off the Calderon. Of course, there are going to be two more games there, the Copa del Rey final next week and a Legends match the following day before the Calderon closes its doors. It was a really nice way to disguise a funeral as a party, I think.
Yeah, and it is sad.
It is a funeral in a way.
Yeah, it is. It very much is, especially for such a historic stadium that is in such a wonderful location and has so much history to it and success in recent years as well. But, this is the modern game.
You may wonder, some of our listeners may wonder why we are, talking about the stadium in this way. The Calderon is not really just the stadium. It's effectively part of who Atletico are. It's part of the DNA, there really is no better stadium fit for Atletico. This grimy old stadium with a highway cutting through one of the stands. It's next to, the shuttered brewery on the riverbank. And it's in a way, the perfect location for this team. And it's going to be weird to see them playing up near the airport up north, where, you know, it's Real Madrid territory. It's closer to the Bernabeu than the Calderon is.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It does fit the attitude of the club a lot. It's kind of uncomfortable in the press section and cold and blustery because of the winds that go through the cracks in the stadium. It's cool. It is the embodiment of the club, and it is a real shame.
And it's the end of an era. It's the end of one era and the start of another. And Simeone is going to lead the team out at a stadium called Wanda. And I think we can agree that we're excited for the move, because this stadium is going to kick ass, man. This is going to be like revolutionary, state of the art stadium, like one of the best stadium experiences in Europe. But it's also bittersweet because you're leaving the Calderon, and there's really not many places in Europe that can claim to have a better atmosphere.
Yeah, agreed. And it's, you know, I don't particularly care for it when teams leave their historic homes. I mean, and a lot of times these modern stadium moves are pretty tough at first. I mean, the only one that I can think of that was hugely successful was Bayern moving to the Allianz, but yeah. Bayern are probably the best run team in
Juventus,
Europe, if
too.
Not the world. So
Juventus, you know, moving to the J Stadium too. That also worked out for them.
Yeah, I mean, those two clubs are extraordinarily well run and know exactly what they're doing, but even still, it'll be an experience, that's for sure, and it's certainly not without drama, this stadium move.
A friend of the pod, Jack Benson, asks, on a scale of 1 to overwhelmingly depressed, how sad are you to be leaving the Calderon? Well, we're sad because we have to change our name now.
Yeah.
We gotta think of a new name.
Yeah, it is a shame. I liked our name, but, you know, I would be more on the end of overwhelmingly depressed, but not quite there yet, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see how bad the stadium move is before I get to fully overwhelmingly depressed.
We are taking new names. We are taking suggestions for a new name. So hit us up on the Twitters or on Facebook if you want to chime in, because we are taking suggestions. We are taking submissions.
Yeah, hit us up, please.
Hit us up.
We need ideas.
So a few stats now. Atletico ended the season with 23 wins, 9 draws, 6 defeats. An identical record to the 2014-15 season, where Atletico also finished third on 78 points. Atletico scored 70 goals in a league season for the first time since 2013-14, when they won the title. Plus 43 goal difference. Also the best in the division if you don't count Real Madrid or Barcelona.
Yeah. And I saw a graphic today based on how teams performed or overperformed based on their finances, and Atleti had the third highest finances, and they finished third. So
that's about right.
You know, satisfactory season.
It's weird that this is now considered kind of a disappointing season. It's weird that the expectations have been raised to that point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it should be seen as a good thing that, you know, that it's we've progressed as a club. But, you know, honestly, third place is where Atleti should finish based on their finances and the status of the rest of the league, really.
Yeah. This is also a fifth consecutive season in which Atletico have racked up 23-plus wins in the league. That is obviously a club record. And plus 43 goal difference this season, plus 45 last season, plus 51 the year Atletico won the title. Atleti have finished with a plus 34 goal difference or higher in each of Simeone's 5 full seasons in charge. It's pretty good.
I mean, it's just indisputable the impact he's had on the club. Also, with the amount of trophies and just the overall change in attitude.
Also, this is the fourth time in 5 years that Atleti have finished with the best defense in the league by goals conceded. Jan Oblak winning a second consecutive Zamora trophy for the fewest goals conceded relative to games played.
Yeah, he was fantastic this season. Absolutely one of the best players.
And he's certainly on his way to becoming one of the best goalkeepers in Europe. I think he's already there. He's not, obviously not the best, but he's in the discussion. He's really good. He's really quite good. So hopefully he stays. There have been the links with Manchester United if David De Gea leaves, but we'll see what comes of that.
You know, I mean, I think all of our players have been linked with Man United at some point this season, so, you know, it's whatever.
After a short break, we will talk about Man United and why they are continually linked with Atleti players and which Atleti player is feeding into that speculation. We'll be back in a minute. So, I didn't want to talk about this today. I really didn't, but Antoine Griezmann made me. He went on...
Stop talking to the press, Antoine. Please.
He went on a French television program. I read that the host of that program is the... like the French equivalent to Jon Stewart. If you don't know who Jon Stewart is, he's a comedian here in the United States. He hosted a satirical news program called The Daily Show for many years. So this guy is allegedly the equivalent in France to Jon Stewart. So Griezmann goes on his show today for an interview, and he is asked, could you see yourself playing for Man United? He said, possibly. And the guy looks up from his notes like slack-jawed, like he's stunned that Griezmann gave this answer. He repeats himself, possibly. He then asks, how likely is it? And Griezmann says, 6 out of 10. He then goes on to say that it's, also 7 out of 10 that he stays at Atletico. He'll decide in 2 weeks. Great.
Great.
Great. So, Rob, I will pose this question, then I will have you answer it. That's how this will work. I kind of see two sides to this. Like most situations in life, there are two sides to this. Number one, Antoine Griezmann is a next-level troll. Number two, Antoine Griezmann is trying to pull a Sergio Aguero on Atletico. Which one do you think it is?
Well, sort of going off Antoine's model, I'd say it's 7 out of 10 that he's being a troll on this one, to be honest. Because, as you say, it is a satirical TV show. And he's been asked questions about it a billion times, and since we don't have... or don't speak French or understand their humor, really, then, I don't know. I feel like this is just kind of banter sort of thing, but who the hell knows? I mean, we've had about 10 million different rumors about this. Oh, he'll go if they qualify for the Champions League, and he loves Paul Pogba. They're best friends. Like, okay. We'll see what happens. He's very expensive, and... if they pay the money, then I don't know how Atletico could turn it down. But, I just have a feeling that he'll end up staying another year just because of the stadium move and Simeone staying. Of course, he says that his future isn't linked to Simeone, but we'll see about that.
Aside from the standard stop talking, Antoine,
yes.
I don't really want to go too deep into this because, we have other things to discuss, and I don't want to spend an hour and a half on this, but he spoke to one of the largest radio stations in Spain last week, and he said he's very happy at Atleti. The only way he'd leave is if he could go play with Derrick Rose, who's a basketball player for the New York Knicks. So
that just doesn't make any sense. That makes the least sense of everything.
That kind of makes me think, and I watched the video of this interview. It's a minute long clip. I watched it a couple times, and the tone, it's very casual. It's not at all like serious interview. It leads me to think that Griezmann is trolling, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of where I come down on this. At any rate, he's got to stop talking about this. It's become a distraction. It's been a distraction for months. It's kind of disrespectful to the club that he hasn't come out one way or the other. The end game, his end game might just be playing up for a renewal. Pay rise, a bump in his buyout clause. So maybe that's what part of this is. But at any rate, Atletico Twitter loses its head every time this comes up. And maybe he finds it fun. We don't find it as fun as he does. Maybe he just gets a kick out of it and seeing people panic. And then it'll just go back to tweeting about the NBA.
Yeah, I feel bad for all the Man United sites that have had to write the same report of this transfer rumor 15 million times this season, to be honest with you.
We've kind of done the same thing.
We're pretty sure that it's probably not going to happen, and if it does, then it's not going to come from some random interview. So
Griezmann said he's going to decide in 2 weeks, seeing that's a weird kind of timeline because the Europa League final is on Wednesday. Go figure. Between Man United and Ajax, that's going to be in Stockholm. United are heavily favored.
Go Ajax.
Go on. That team's a lot of fun. So,
yeah, they are. All I want in life is to see Justin Kluivert score a goal in the final.
Yeah, all right, Dolberg. I love him too.
Yeah, just for the banter of it, because just for the banter of cost more than their whole squad.
Yeah, the banter of Kluivert scoring would be pretty fun.
Yeah, it really would be.
So, we don't really know anymore. What. Yeah. We can't tell you what Griezmann is going to do because we're not him. The reports have been conflicting for months. He himself has been a conflicting report for months. So my gut, at least, is that he is going to stay because we're going to lead into this as well, the Alexander Lacazette situation. That's probably, that's the biggest reason, I think. Like, you don't demand, you know, the signing of Lacazette and then leave. Like, you just don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I do think it's possible Atleti, you know, they may want to inquire about Derrick Rose then.
Yeah.
Because he's been a bit crap this season.
Well,
so,
with his knees, with his knees, though, I'm not sure.
Well, he could. I'm sure we could get him like some kind of maybe mascot role or, you know, ambassador or something like that.
He could be indie. He could be the mascot.
There we go. That'd be great.
So I mentioned Lacazette. We have a question from Mr. Skiles 1, Stephen Skiles. Is Lacazette a quote unquote done deal with Simeone staying and Lacazette coming? Will Griezmann stay? Well, we just addressed Griezmann. We don't really know. We don't know for sure until he says, yes, I'm staying, or he renews his contract or whatever. So let's talk about Lacazette now. It seems he's coming. He confirmed his departure last week. He went and scored 2 goals at the weekend, his 99th and 100th league goals for Lyon. So pretty nice way for him to go. And then the president of the club, he confirmed that Lacazette wanted to go to Atletico. He asked Lyon to negotiate exclusively with Atletico, as Lacazette and Atleti had already agreed terms. They already had a verbal agreement. There was a report today that Lacazette wants to come to Atleti so badly and play with Griezmann so badly that he's even willing to sit out 5 months if the transfer ban does not get revoked. He's reportedly agreed a 5-year deal worth 4 million euros a year. It seems like this is happening.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was surprised when these reports came out. It seems very, very, like, it's done, basically.
Yeah.
The only thing that's left to go is the transfer ban appeal.
Atleti and Lyon need to decide, you know, if Atleti are going to pay 50 million or 60 million. That's kind of where we're at.
And for a club that's been notoriously difficult to negotiate with, like Lyon, then this is extremely impressive work to get it done before the window even opens.
Getting it done so early, too.
Yeah.
Because the last couple of years, it's kind of come down to the wire. Last season, Gamero wasn't confirmed till the end of July. Jackson Martinez wasn't confirmed till July. So getting it done this early, I think, is a better sign than getting it done in August, like last year.
Yeah, and, you know, I have my doubts about Lacazette, but honestly,
yeah,
getting a signing done this early on, just by itself, I can certainly appreciate.
With Lacazette, yeah, you mentioned you have some doubts. I kind of do as well. Like, Lacazette's a class player. Like, there's no denying that he's a really good forward. But, you know, I've watched him play, and you see how he's a great finisher, great penalty taker. He's quick. He can lead the line. He's strong. But I think he and Griezmann are really similar players. I think the profile should be someone like Andrea Belotti, who's also been linked with Atletico. I think Belotti, I'm crazy about him. I love watching him. But Lacazette, I think, is a little too similar to Griezmann, like kind of like Gamero is a little too similar to Griezmann to make it really work.
Yeah, I mean, they're exactly the same height and weigh about the same amount. I mean, they are extremely similar players when it comes down to the physical nature of them.
Like, neither one of them, I think Lacazette's probably a better finisher, but neither one of them is really particularly good in the air. They can be out-muscled by big, strong physical center backs, and Griezmann can. We'll see if Lacazette does come to Spain. We'll see how he does against those kinds of, like, burly, big central defenders. They're both quick, they're both pacey, they're both good dribblers, they're both dynamic, they can both score, they can both pass. They're going to have good chemistry, because they've been friends for a long time. There's something about him that just doesn't convince me. He's dominated in France, but I don't know how that'll translate to a move to Atletico.
Yeah, and over the years, we've seen a lot of players dominate in France and then not translate to one of the big five. I mean, I know France is in there, but, you know, generally it's easier to rack up a bunch of goals in France than it is elsewhere. But it's certainly interesting, and he's been one of these players that's been linked away from his club for ages, so we'll see if he can pull it off in La Liga. I'd love to see him do it, and Lord knows Atleti need a penalty taker. But
yeah.
I think, you know, it's worth a shot, I guess. And Belotti is, I agree with you, a fantastic player and has had a wonderful season on a mediocre team in Italy, but he's more expensive, and I think this is somewhat the more reasonable financial option for Atleti.
Yeah, and one of these days Atleti have to strike gold with finding Costa's replacement. Maybe this will be the day.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out, because it does seem like this is very much a done deal. It just depends whether it'll be in January that he rocks up and starts playing, or in the at the start of the season. Of course, we much prefer it from the jump, so we're not filling in with some randos like Vieto and maybe Correa.
Yeah, I think Correa might go out on loan anyway, but we'll see. Speaking of January, that would be when the transfer ban would be lifted. We have a question on that from Nick Gable at NickGableBall28. What are the chances the transfer ban gets lifted? Well, let's do this on the Griezmann rating system. I would say
yes.
I would say 8 out of 10. I'm reasonably convinced that Atleti have essentially used the same argument Real Madrid used to get the transfer ban revoked. But seeing as this is Atletico and weird things happen to Atletico, there's that little sliver of doubt. I would say 8 out of 10, though. I'm relatively confident that this will get lifted. Atleti will be able to make signings this summer.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I'd think it'd be around the 8 or 7 or 8 level, because I have a feeling that if it would have been turned down, we would have heard by now. Just because rejecting a petition is a lot easier to do than going through the process of overturning a transfer ban. And given that Atleti did what they did in January, not signing anyone, as sort of like, okay, look, we're not doing anything bad, please overturn our transfer ban.
Please overturn it.
Please, seriously, we need to sign people, so we'll see.
Yeah, they really do. Signings, we have a little more news on that front. Sandro Ramirez might be on his way as well as Lacazette.
Oh.
you're excited over there, aren't you?
Yes, me like Sandro.
So
again, also short and kind of pacey and not super strong, but you know, whatever.
Also a set piece specialist who could be, you know, worth 6 times what he currently is in about a year.
If his release clause is 6 million euros, that is unbelievable.
That is unbelievable. So his agent was at the Calderon this morning to continue negotiations. It seems a deal for him is close. Atleti are trying to get this done and get a commitment before the transfer ban decision, because if it goes against Atletico, they don't want someone like Everton or Sevilla swooping in and taking Sandro.
Yeah, and it makes sense. And sort of the reports have been that he would prefer to be in Spain, which makes sense. And, you know, the top two aren't really going to be going in for him. He's pissed off at Barcelona and probably is anti-Real Madrid because he came up at Barca. So, excluding those two, the best club he could go to is Atleti, so it makes sense to me on paper. And at that price, it's absolutely worth a punt based on how well he's done this season.
I think it would also be good because it would encourage Simeone to rotate. You can't have a guy who just, you know, who is this promising, who had the season he had at Malaga, you can't have him sitting on the bench.
I mean, he absolutely banged him in this season for Malaga, and that was a bad Malaga team for quite a lot of the season, so that's a great sign. And he's La Liga proven, so if Lacazette turns out to have a slow start at Atleti, which is definitely possible, then Sandro would be the perfect guy to pick up the slack, I think.
He's someone who Atleti are after. Vitolo, also a name that has apparently been demanded by Diego Simeone. Vitolo is one that he really, really wants. And it makes sense. Vitolo, I think, is a good fit in this team. He's pacey, good dribbler, can play all across the midfield, even as a forward if needed, and he works hard. He tracks back and he works really hard. He would be a really, really good fit in this team.
Yeah, I think that's the major selling point for Simeone on this, is that he absolutely gives it all every match. I mean, he bombs up and down the wing, so to have a player like that would be really, really a good fit. And Atleti have been weak on the wings this year. I mean, Koke's great, but on the wing, he's not brilliant. So
yeah, this isn't a new thing. Gaetan was supposed to come in and change that, but Gaetan was not good, and he'll be leaving this summer because he wasn't good.
Yes, and I really don't think there's any doubt about that at this point. It just depends who's gonna take him off us and how big of a loss Atleti's gonna take on him.
What else we got here? Fernando Torres has been told that he is in Simeone's plans for next season. He's probably going to get another one-year contract. If he hadn't confirmed it before yesterday, he certainly confirmed it yesterday with the 2 goals against Athletic, which I'm fine with Torres being in the team. He just cannot play as much as he's played.
Yeah, if he's starting next season, then there's a major problem, honestly. If you're bringing Fernando Torres off the bench as a striker, then fair enough. That's a very good option to have, but I really hope he isn't. a major contender for a starting role unless he just loses his mind scoring.
So potentially next season we are looking at Griezmann, Lacazette, Sandro, and Fernando Torres as the strike force. That looks good on paper.
It looks very good on paper.
And maybe Correa does stay if Griezmann does leave, eye roll, then maybe Correa will stay, but he's also an option.
And Vieto?
No.
Question mark? Yeah, I think
nope.
He's out of here.
Nope. I don't know where Vieto goes, but he's not going to be with this team next year. That's...
And he wasn't brilliant with Sevilla this year.
No, he wasn't, like, at all.
Seems like a kind of one-season flash-in-the-pan sort of deal.
Yeah, it seems very much like that. So I don't know where Vieto is going to go. Same with Kronovit there.
Yeah, that'll be interesting as well. And we have, you know, we've had some long-term entry people out, like Augusto, and he'll have a claim to stake starting next season. I'm sure he'll be eager to enforce himself in the team again.
Yeah, having Augusto back will be huge, because that'll allow us for a little bit more rotation in midfield.
Yeah, and I mean, it's totally up in the air where he's going to be at in terms of his level after such a serious injury. You just really don't know.
Yeah, and especially at his age, too. He's over 30.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was a very good player last season, but we'll see, I guess. He'll certainly be motivated.
Yeah, it's going to be what looks like, well, maybe, a pretty exciting summer.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It seems like the transfer market this summer is a bit more saturated than it has been the last couple years. Honestly, it's been a bit disappointing, so...
Yeah.
We'll see.
Indeed.
And the Gamero thing is really big, I think.
All about that. So he sent out the message on Facebook last week saying he wanted to stay at Atletico. He wanted to defend these colors. And I'm also fine with Gamero staying. He has good chemistry with Griezmann. He wasn't bad this season. He just wasn't good enough. But I'm fine with him staying and coming off the bench. His value might be increased that way.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. He, you know, it's not his fault how expensive he was, but he really wasn't up to a 40 million euro striker.
I mean, he wasn't good enough.
No. And maybe it'll take him a year. Who knows? Maybe he, Griezmann, and Lacazette will be the three French musketeers.
Yeah.
You know, that'll be pretty fun.
Those three, plus Sandro, plus Torres.
Oh, that's tasty.
There's a lot there, and there are a lot of options for Simeone there.
Yeah, there's a lot to like there, for sure.
All right, so anything else, Rob, before we head out of here?
I guess that's it. The last match of the season.
The last Colchonero chat of the season, but not of the year. We're taking the rest of the week off, but we will be back sometime next week with our end of season, the beginning of our end of season ratings podcasts.
Yes, absolutely. We'll be going in depth on some folks.
So that will do it for this edition, though, of Colchonero Chat. I'd like to thank my guest, Rob Walker. Rob, as ever, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
I want Rob to stick around for just a minute, but in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at JBBaren. That's JBBEREN. You can follow Rob on Twitter at RWalk03. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. And like us on Facebook as well at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. As far as Colchonero Chat is concerned, you can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colchonero Chat on iTunes, Stitcher, Acast, Google Play, and TuneIn. Adios.